appreciate the prayer this morning and ask for continued interest in your prayers for what time that we take. If you're watching your watch, it's about 10 or 12 after already. Just thought I'd let you know in case we go past 12. I hear we have a new Supreme Court justice. If you didn't know it, you heard it from Brother Jamie. Were you praying for it?
Yes, absolutely.
Or at least were you praying about it? You know, I hope it's a good thing. From everything that I have heard, and you know, sometimes you could just look at who's for and who's against and kind of make up your mind. But I pray that it is a great blessing for this nation. And we won't take time to go into issues, but from what I have heard, we have every reason to be encouraged. But I have a question for you. And Brother Jamie touched on this in his prayer. Who's really in control? You know, there's no telling how much wrangling and arm twisting and all kinds of things went on before this came about. Things we don't know anything about. We have some idea, but unless perhaps you've been in that environment or close to someone in that environment, we probably don't have a clue about all of it. And were you worried about it? You know, there's things that's happened in this nation in the last 10 years has bothered me more than I can remember other things, just because of the way things have come about and the way the direction that looked like things were going. Did it bother you? As to whether, you know, let me put it this way. What if he had not been confirmed? Would that have bothered you? Would that have worried you? I saw a statement recently. I think I shared it at Bible study, and I may have said so here in the pulpit. But worry is like saying, I don't think God's going to get it right. You know? Now, I know there's things that we genuinely are concerned about, and there's things that we have to apply ourselves and prepare for and be concerned about. I understand that. There's a place for that. But to worry to the point where it makes you sick and you just, you know, it just has a tremendous effect upon you. I agree with that statement that it really does. Your actions are saying you don't think God's going to get it right. Now, we also understand that not everything's ever going to happen the way we want it to. And God's way is not our way, is it? You know, his ways are higher than our ways, as the heavens are above the earth. And what it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth. That's quite a ways, isn't it? So as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. And for which, really, when we're thinking like we should, we can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I can think of some times in my life where if I'd had my way, things wouldn't have gone as good. But I'm thankful that the Lord, and when I say that who's in control, I'm not talking about absolute predestination. I'm not talking about we're puppets, but I do believe that God intervenes in the affairs of men to work his will. Nebuchadnezzar found that out, didn't he? All right? And I want to notice for just a few minutes this morning some of the scriptures. Well, let me back up before I get to the scriptures. So if worrying is not something we need to be doing, so, you know, like the confirmation of this Supreme Court justice, you know, I didn't have any effect on that at all. Did you? So why should I worry about something that's beyond any influence I can have? So understanding that, then where should we put our concern? Where should we put our energies? Is it not in the sphere of influence that we do have? In the things that we are doing? So that we can bring glory to God in whatever we are doing instead of worrying and making ourselves sick over something that it's just beyond our ability to influence anyway. Okay? I want to notice several scriptures, and I'm going to spend a little time in Daniel. Over the last 20 years of my life, I guess, Daniel has become such an important book to me. I mean, it's just so full of good guidance that helps us to understand that when it seems like things are out of control, it reminds us how much God is in control. You know, so I want to go to a time early in the book of Daniel. You know, in chapter 1, it tells us about how that Daniel and many others were carried into captivity. And the scriptures tell us, Jeremiah had told us, that God sent Nebuchadnezzar, God sent the Babylonians to carry his people away captive. After he had sent prophet after prophet, after he had sent message after message, and the people would not hear, when there was no remedy, he sent the Babylonians to take his people away captive. So here's a time when God's people appear to the world as being totally defeated. Their God who had parted the Red Sea, their God who had delivered them against incredible odds many times, now they appear to the world as being totally defeated. Do you know, I wonder sometimes if the world doesn't look at the church today and think the same thing. Totally defeated. But in Daniel, and in Daniel chapter 2, God gave a dream to Nebuchadnezzar. Then he took the dream away from Nebuchadnezzar's remembrance. Then Nebuchadnezzar, remember he had a dream. He remembered it was tremendous, but he couldn't remember what it was. And so he called for his astrologers and his magicians and his wise men and demanded of them to interpret, to tell him the dream and the interpretation of it. And in my own words, they said, well, there's not a man on earth that can do this. It's a rare thing that thou requirest, O king. But then Daniel heard that Nebuchadnezzar had decreed that they'd all be put to death because they couldn't interpret the dream. Or couldn't tell him the dream, nor interpret. Isn't it amazing how God works sometimes? How in this situation, why they could have told him something and you know, who knows whether that would have been the interpretation or not. But God caused him to forget the dream. So part of the requirement was that they had to first tell him the dream and then the interpretation. I love that. There's no way they were going to pull it over on the king with this one. But God blessed Daniel with the interpretation. You know the story. You know the true account of what happened there and how God revealed to Daniel the dream and the interpretation. But what I want to get to is right toward the end. I've given you a little bit of the background in case you haven't read it lately. And these are the words of Daniel. All right? I'm going to go to chapter 4 and we're going to hear Nebuchadnezzar. But this time, this first time in chapter 2, and let's see. Let me begin in verse 19. Chapter 2, verse 19 of Daniel. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. See, here's why I wanted to get to these verses in light of this Supreme Court nomination, is because we have records. Now, I'm not going to say that God has done this every time a king has been installed or every time some position of prominence has been filled. I'm not saying that. But we do see that God does intervene when he chooses to do his will. All right? So who's in control? God is in control. All right? Sometimes those people that fill those offices are for our judgment. Okay? All right? So he says, He changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desire of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. But part of what he said was, he changeth the times and the seasons, he removeth kings and setteth up kings. God can do that. All right. Chapter 4. Well, by the way, chapter 3 doesn't have that type of language, but we do find that there was a great image set up, and the king, Nebuchadnezzar, summoned for all the people in all the provinces, which was the known world in that time. So there was people, you might say, from all over the world on that occasion, who were supposed to, when they heard the music, they were to bow down to this image. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't bow. And the king was filled with rage and had them to heat the furnace 7 times hotter than it was wont to be. And he gave them a second chance. Maybe they didn't understand. No, he didn't understand. They were not going to bow. He cast them in the furnace. And that old king said, Lo, did not we cast in 3, and I see 4. And the 4th is likened to the Son of God. Who told him that was the Son of God? God did. And they came out, there was no hurt. There was not even the smell of smoke on their garments. And all those people from all over the world, don't you know when they went home, they talked about that even though King Nebuchadnezzar tried his best to burn those 3, there was one in the fire with them that kept them from being burned. God is in control. Hope you found chapter 4 by now. I won't take a lot of time, but again, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. It's about a great tree that was a great blessing to so many in his realm. And all of a sudden there was a command to cut the tree down, but leave the root. All right? And the voice that spoke in the dream, Nebuchadnezzar speaks of it. And I've given you a very short description of that, but maybe you can read it later. But chapter 4, just in verse 17, this is still the words of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, first in chapter 2, we heard the words of Daniel, how he setteth up kings and removeth kings. Listen to what Nebuchadnezzar says. This matter, verse 17, 4:17, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men. You know, I think we've seen some of this basest of men in recent years, haven't we? In high places. Perhaps a lot of that was to judge this nation. And there's a lot of things that this nation officially, by laws, condone that's worthy of God's judgment. I'm surprised. Sometimes I wonder at why we're even still a nation. But God is merciful. God is long-suffering. Perhaps he has blessed us. I hope this change, this addition, I hope this will be a great blessing for this nation. I hope it's a man that will look to God, a man that will honor God's word, a man that will judge according to thus saith the Lord. But by the way, notice when he says, to the intent that the living may know. That kind of struck me recently when I was reading that. That the living may know. You know, the scripture says there's no knowledge in the grave. We have an opportunity to serve the Lord now. If God has blessed us to know him and to know his word and know how we should live, we need to do it now. Because one thing for sure, he says that the living may know. There's coming a time when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Bless your hearts. Now is the day of salvation. Now is when we need to take heed to the word of God, that the living may know. All right? That the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Our prayer should be, Lord, have mercy, thy will be done. Realizing that he is in control. But later on, if we would take the time, Nebuchadnezzar would after his reason returned to him, he spoke of how that he doeth his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of men, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou? Nebuchadnezzar learned that lesson. The Spirit moved Daniel to record that lesson for us. I think it's a good lesson for us to remember today, because there's so many things that we wish were different in our world today. There's so many things that we know it's not right. There's so many things that we wish were different. We can't change them, but God can. He can do what he wants to do. Obviously, as long as it doesn't violate his will and character. But he can do anything he chooses. Oh, may God help us to pray, thy will be done, and be satisfied and be content in what God does. Because what he does for us is always the best. One more verse and I'm going to close out. In Psalm 83. Just very briefly. This is a time when the haters of God took crafty counsel against the people. That kind of sounds like what might have just happened. The haters of God. And the psalmist here is speaking about that. Let me see. Let's just get to he's speaking against those concerning Edom and Moab and Ammon. You'd have to read the psalm. But verse 18 says this. let me get verse 17. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. That Jehovah is over all the earth. I tell you, that's comforting to me. To be reminded that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That God is over all, and that he loves the people. And that he loved us enough that he sent his son to suffer and die to redeem us from our sins. to save us and has given us a sweet hope of heaven that someday when the trials of this life are over, by the grace of God, by the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, heaven will be ours to enjoy forever. And while this world sometimes, and while this life that we live here in this world oftentimes is less than what we would call heavenly, God is still in control. He is still on his throne. Let us be content and praise him for his goodness and mercy and do what we can to be faithful to him each day. May God bless you, is our prayer. Elder Abernathy, would you come ahead?